I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Listen to Let It Happen on Saturdays at 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. for a little bit of psych, a little bit of pop, and a whole lot of only on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Alan Cross. You may know me as the guy who does the ongoing history of new music. You're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Good morning. It is 11 a.m. on Friday, August 23rd, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. In today's episode, we'll be covering the very first production by the Seniors Theatre Group at The Spire, an upcoming block party celebrating local food hosted by Loving Spoonful at the Memorial Centre Farmers Market this weekend, Council approving funding for Kingston's very first fully inclusive and accessible playground, and more. The Spire Arts and Community Hub has shared news of an exciting new initiative in the community with the creation of a by and for seniors theater group. Within the release, it was also announced that their first production, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, is already scheduled to hit the stage with performances scheduled for early to mid-September. Made possible by funding from the federal New Horizons for Seniors program and the Kingston Arts Council, the initiative was inspired by the desire to provide more opportunities for seniors to participate in the performing arts. Working under director Ian Malcolm, this initiative has given a talented lineup of local performers the opportunity to return to the stage. I sat down with Spire General Manager Sam McLeod and director Ian Malcolm to discuss the seniors' first production. I know this was motivated partly after receiving funding from the Kingston Arts Council, but how did this project get started? What's the story there?
Yeah, so we looked around Kingston, and you know, for with our organization, with the Spire, there's a lot of seniors involvement across the board, from leadership to just people who come in and fix things. And we looked, you know, we're an arts institution, we're a social service institution, and we looked across the Kingston landscape, and we didn't see a lot of opportunity for people who were senior citizens to get involved in the arts, particularly around performing arts. And it's interesting, right? Like when you are an artist, that doesn't just turn off when you hit 65 or 70 or 75 or something. You need to keep that going. It's like a muscle. And so we wanted to provide that as an opportunity. We saw a federal program called New Horizons Program for Seniors and the Kingston Arts Council, and we sort of talked to both groups, and they said, that's a great idea. It fills a need in the city. So, so we've kicked off a seniors theater program at the Spire.
Fantastic. And Ian, I was wondering if you could speak a bit to that, just as the director of this show.
Well, yes. Sam's the administrator, and he has a ton of theatrical experience as well as administering a community facility like the Spire. But I'm a director. I taught drama for 30 years and at Kingston Collegiate. I've directed shows in Kingston since we moved here, really, for 40 years or so. And I've been a long-term member at Sydenham Street United Church, which is the organization that I guess originally created the building that is now the Spire. And so when Sam achieved all these opportunities for seniors theater, I knew right away that apart from the good idea and apart from the nobility of offering people of a certain age like me another theatrical opportunity, the really important thing was to do a really good show in the performance hall of the Spire. It's a demanding space. It holds a large audience, and it has beautiful acoustics for vocal music and for instrumental music. And the next phase is to add theater that involves the spoken word and music to the offering that the Spire makes possible. So I worked very hard very quickly to pick a really interesting show. We had to get it on in this calendar year. I mean, that's part of the grant requirement. And I thought September's much better than later in the fall for a whole variety of reasons. So what's a show that would really work in September? What's a show that would really work for the senior actors that we were able to get involved? And what's a show that would really appeal to the audience that comes to the Spire regularly? And I think I found the show. And we've been hard at it since the beginning of July. There was a lot of work before July to get the cast together and get commitments. But all of a sudden, we have a great cast and an outstanding team, and we're well on the way.
Awesome, and we'll get more into that show in a bit. But I was going to ask, what was that initial feedback you got right away from the community and the folks who decided to get involved in this project?
They really wanted to be involved. The hurdles all had to do with the fact that if you're casting a show in, let's say, May or the summer, you're dealing with people who at this stage of their lives are very organized and they already have the summer planned. I don't know what life is like for you, Chris, but for people like Sam and me, that calendar for July and August was filled a long time ago. So who's free for rehearsing? And there were people who would have loved to have been involved with the show who just couldn't because they'd already made travel plans, that sort of thing. So it was hard. It was just the work of saying, here's the show. Isn't this great? There's a part for you. You'd be brilliant in it. And putting together people who embraced that.
Yeah, so we built a team of, it's really like four seniors by seniors. There's me, I'm not a senior, but I'm working towards it slowly. But
In training.
But yeah, so it's, you know, lighting designer is a senior, the, you know, the people who are working backstage, the stage manager, etc. So yeah, I think we got really great response in a very short period of time, which is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fantastic. And have you heard comments like as you've gone along in rehearsing, being like, wow, it's so great to be back as an actor, to try acting for the first time or anything like that?
Oh, I don't think in this particular case it's for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's great to be back on stage, and it's great to be doing a script that we really have something to bring to. Because this particular show is a script that... It's, on the one hand, it's being done by high school casts all over the English-speaking world. But for high school students, and I'm an expert at talking about what scripts are like for high school students, it's a challenge. It's a stretching exercise in learning the vision of what it's like to be an adult. But when you're casting to the right age and you're dealing with people who are already expert at being adults, they bring such sensitivity and such awareness of the nuances of the moments in life when it doesn't quite go as planned, and you have to know what to do, and you have to be brave, and you have to be open, and you have to be free like you were when you were a child. And everything was wonderful, and everything was a challenge that you couldn't wait to start. We learn how to be more protective in later life, but theater people are freer. It's the nature of being on stage. And so the cast has really embraced all the episodes, all the experiences that the script contains, which are all, we want to remind you of this. We want to take you to a moment that you've lived through before and show you maybe a better way of dealing with it. It's really charming. It's been a very affecting for the cast as well. We've been moved to tears at different times in the rehearsal of scenes. And the advantage of getting there in rehearsal is that then you can be calm and clear and bring all your craft to bear to make that happen for an audience that's caught by surprise, being taken to a moment that it has lived through as well, but I hadn't really thought about it in the same way. It's been a thrilling show to rehearse in that sense.
Amazing. Yeah. And Sam, did you have anything on that feedback that you've been getting so far?
Yeah. I mean, people are very excited. It's an interesting show because it's there's dance, there's singing. It's a comedy, but it's also very intimate. So it talks a lot about the beauty of life and the, the funny moments in life that are weird that we kind of go through and or work through in this kind of weird personal way. I don't know. It's beautiful. And I think that is affecting the people who are involved. And there's a lot of excitement to present that to people that we hope will come and see it.
Awesome. Yeah. And no more beating around the bush. The show is All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
That's right.
I was wondering if you could get into the choice of this book and what audiences can expect.
Well, there are many, many people of a certain age who will be coming to the theater, whether they were ever teachers in their lives or are presently now or not, who remember the book, because the book was written in the late 80s and was a huge international success. It's still in print. It's still being distributed and read and thought about all over the world. The vision of how life would be better if we practiced the rules that we were taught when we were children. The rules of playing fair and sharing and holding hands when we cross the street, experiencing wonder, staying open to that, living a balanced life, looking at the world, which is to say actually seeing the world we're in and finding joy and magic and meaning in every moment. The book was about that. The show is a dramatization of anecdotes that the author, Robert Fulghum, used in the first book and in the second book as well. The songs were crafted to link the journey through experience. It's very much, it's a dramatic comedy, and I have really noticed how the laughter is so often the laughter of recognition, which is a gentle laughter. It's the business of saying, oh yes, I've lived through that moment too. And the challenge, of course, to the audience is, wouldn't it be better if you were as open and free and honest and caring and kind as you were when you were a child? It's one of those wake up calls for adulthood, and in the nicest way.
Yeah, for sure. And September's coming up really fast. How?
Oh, yeah. It's a September show.
Yeah.
Because whether you're a grandparent or a parent or thinking about parenthood or just coming out of adolescence, this is a show that takes you to that time of year where everything is possible. One of the brilliance, I always think September should be the start of every year because it's terms of that cycle of education that we've all lived through, it really is the beginning, and it's so hopeful. It's so full of dreams, and this year, I'll get it done. This year, I'll reach for the thing I didn't last year. The show is explicitly taking everybody there. So, lots of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And how are you feeling at this point in rehearsals? Are you feeling ready to go? Feeling a bit nervous, excited?
Oh, I could talk for an hour about the arc of rehearsing a show from the first moment of excitement to the time when it's hard work and you know it, but you don't know it completely yet. And that's what the actors are striving for, that complete journey into the world of the script. And because it's tiring, you yearn for an audience. And I think we're all at the moment looking forward to the time when we have some people in the house reacting.
And Ian has pushed these people. Like, I think we've done plenty of rehearsal. They are in great shape right now, which is so nice because I've done a number of shows where you get to dress rehearsal and you're like, oh no, like this is gonna, there's gonna be an audience. But right now, like, I think it is in great shape. Like, and it's almost like you can feel the energy. We're ready for an audience. Maybe not, there's some technical stuff to throw in. We've got a lighting system that we're still waiting to arrive, hopefully next week. But yeah, it's in great shape. And I think we're ready to to get it out there.
And one of the things we've been enjoying is the way in which the spire has been redeveloped to make more possible the kind of show that this is. It's always been, if you bring a string quartet or an orchestra into the spire, it sounds brilliant. If you bring a huge choir into the spire, it sounds brilliant. But when you're putting people on stage and they're singing and they're speaking, the wonderful thing that's happened is that both the Friends of the Spire and the community of Sydenham Street United Church have put a lot of money, as Sam can be precise about that, into a really, really subtle and developed and brilliant sound system, which allows the reproduction of spoken word in a way that makes possible stage performances in the Spire. And the music, Michael Capon, the music director, is one of Kingston's brilliant musicians, both in terms of the work he does at St. James Anglican as the organist and choir director, and in terms of Kingston shows. He's been involved in Kingston musicals for a long time. He's a session man. He's a rehearsal pianist. He knows how to watch the actors and play to what they're doing. He doesn't need to be looking at the score all the time. And he's also got really brilliant instincts as a director. So what's happening is that we're making the Spire a great space for this kind of show. And I think it will liberate a lot of people's thoughts about the kind of show they might want to direct or be in, and the location to do it in. And there's more to come. As Sam was saying, there are going to be 24 lamps installed, theatrical lighting in that space. Clearance of the chancel floor and the altar area for stage performance has already taken place and been planned a long time since. So for sound, for light, for ambience, for energy, it's becoming a great theater, and that's a thrill to me.
Yeah, I remember a few months ago, Sam, when I spoke to you, you were talking about all the new developments at the Spire and how you were really transforming it into a performance space. I was wondering if you could speak to that a bit and how it's going to impact this performance.
Yeah, so we've put in through private investment and people at the Sydenham Street United Church or the government at various levels and going out and fundraising and begging and things like that. We've probably put in our sound system and lighting about $300,000 into the space over the last maybe 2 years. And that's included high-end speakers. You know, everybody who's in the show is going to be on wireless mics with a really nice wireless mic system. Like, we've been developing, it's been step by step, but every week we take another step. We just changed all the lamps to dimmable the other day, and you know, the things that we're doing on a moment-by-moment basis are making the space more usable by people like Ian doing theater, concerts, choirs, just anybody who wants to put on a public performance or do a talk, those kind of things. Like, we're putting in the technical equipment necessary to make those a success. And we're going to keep doing that for years to come until it's, you know, we can say this is a state-of-the-art facility in Kingston. We're well on the way.
Fantastic. Yeah. And sort of looking towards the future, this might be too far to say, but is there hopes that we can continue this program in future years?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's not the need for seniors to be involved in the arts, and you know, the Seniors Association in Kingston is doing an excellent job in this kind of thing. But you know, it's always going to be there, and so this is something we hope we can sustain, we can grow. It's probably not going to be easy, but there's so much energy behind it already that I think we can see it lasting for years to come. We hope. But we need people to come to the show. So if you're out there and interested, the show is September 12th, 13th, and 14th, and 19th, 20th, and 21st at the Spire. You can get your tickets at the Kingston Grand, 7:30 every evening. It's only $20 a ticket, super affordable. We just want to get people into seats and see these wonderful actors, wonderful musician, you know, wonderful space, great director. Like, it's, you know, it's just, we're so lucky, and we hope people will come and see it.
Once again, that was Sam McLeod, General Manager of The Spire, and Ian Malcolm, Director of the Seniors Arts Group's first production, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. A new study released in Kingston warns that Ontario's hospital workers are in, quote, deep turmoil, as working conditions become increasingly detrimental to their well-being. In January, QB's Ontario Council of Hospital Unions, OCHU, presented the worrying findings of a poll amongst Kingston hospital workers, revealing that 43% of staff say they dread going to work and 90% lack confidence in the government's plan to improve public health care. Seeking the story behind statistics like these consistent across the province, researchers Dr. Margaret Keith, Dr. James Brophy, and OCHU QB President Michael Hurley conducted a qualitative study. Dr. Brophy and Hurley held a conference in Kingston City Hall to share their findings. The study, entitled Running on Empty, is based on 26 interviews with QB hospital workers, including nurses, personal support workers, and clerical staff. It was also supported by a poll surveying 775 hospital workers, including those working in Kingston. The presentation of the study started with grim excerpts directly from the interviews.
You think it can't get any worse, and it just got worse. I was going through increasing panic attacks before work, crying before I got out of the car. I loved going to work when I first started. Now, I dread it.
Seeing the system, the way it is, I'm getting scared to get sick myself. Do I really want to come to my own facility? The exterior looks fine, but on the inside, everything's falling apart.
They've cut me up into pieces. They spread me so thin that I don't have the time to provide the level of care that I would love to provide. So, I just do what I can. That's where the pressure comes in. And the anxiety and the guilt and the feelings that I should have done more, but I can't. I can only do so much. And then with the issues that we have at work and the concern about patient neglect and the physical part of the job is so draining, my job is killing me.
It's embarrassing to say I don't have the compassion that I used to have. I'm not at all the nurse I wanted to be. We all recognize that it's hard for patients too. This is not the kind of health care they deserve.
The accompanying survey revealed 70% of Kingston hospital workers who answered reported struggling with anxiety. Feelings of stress and frustration were expressed across the board by nurses, cleaners, and administrative workers alike. Dr. Brophy had the following to say on the matter at the press conference releasing the findings.
You can see that sense of, you know, I can't do the job that I want to do, and every day I go home and I feel like I failed. I'm not the nurse that I wanted to be. And that even included cleaners, for instance, who say they couldn't keep the rooms clean. They are doing more work with less, which means that they're not doing their jobs properly and so on. And so, you know, they started fearing that, you know, someone would get sick and get an infection due to their inability to do their job properly. Clerical workers, administrative workers that deal with the public and organize, you know, procedures and so on, facing all kinds of frustration and anger from the public because they can't get their MRI, they can't get the cancer treatment they want, they can't get their dialysis, and feeling their understanding, but at the same time being at the other end of that really abuse.
Violence against healthcare workers was also a largely discussed piece of the findings in the study, contributing to the feelings of stress, frustration, and hopelessness. Both in the study and the presentation, the authors noted the gendered aspect of this piece, with the majority of Ontario's hospital workers being women and the violence in the workplace reflecting the greater issue of increasing violence against women. Both Dr. Brophy and Hurley spoke to this as well.
We started off looking at the issue of violence, which was concealed from us. We didn't know that violence was an issue in healthcare, and now healthcare has become arguably one of the most dangerous and violent workplaces anywhere. And of course, you can't disconnect that from the fact that 85% of healthcare workers are women, and so much of what you hear seems like violence against women in society. When we did the interviews with healthcare workers, it was one story after another about physical attacks, ones that caused serious, in some cases, people literally couldn't go back to work. They were so badly injured, punched in the face, kicked, thrown, had their head thrown through a wall.
Disfigured with a fork.
Yes.
Like that.
I can't, honestly, I'm trying to use hyperbole here. I had never heard anything like it. Margaret Keith and I, after we would do focus groups, saying, what the heck did we just hear here? Like, this is unbelievable. And nobody knows about this. And of course, that's when we found out about this whole thing of silencing and the fear of talking publicly about this.
In the study, workers were also asked their thoughts on the causes of the deterioration of their work environment. Workers responded understaffing, deregulation, underfunding, and privatization as being at the root of the issue, with Ontario being particularly challenged with 18% less hospital staff compared to the rest of Canada and the lowest per-person hospital spending of any province.
But Ontario, in every metric, is below the Canadian average, whether it's nurse-to-patient ratios, whether it's beds to, you know, portions of the population. In every single metric, Ontario fares worse than Canada, and Canada is now falling farther and farther behind.
You've got a great example right here in Kingston. You know, you used to have two hospitals with two functioning emergency rooms. Now you've got one.
The study concludes, stating that measures to moderate workloads across the hospital workforce, like nurse-to-patient ratios, are urgently required, and warning that the staffing crisis will continue to worsen without intervention. However, with previous studies not receiving any response when sent to provincial government representatives, Hurley expressed his doubts.
I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but I'm not hopeful. Based on the fact that all the other studies we responded to, I'm not that optimistic, but we're hoping.
Once again, that was OQP President Michael Hurley and researcher Dr. James Brophy, co-authors along with Dr. Margaret Keith of Running on Empty. At their last meeting, council voted to provide $300,000 to support the city's first inclusive playground, set to be built in the Rideau Heights district. Over the last year, community members have come together to form the Inclusive Play Project, working with Extend a Family and a number of other organizations, in response to a lack of inclusive and accessible playgrounds in the city. Inclusive Play Project representatives shared evidence of this gap found in a survey the group conducted recently.
We've also recently completed an online survey where we had almost 200 responses. Throughout that survey, we found that 98% of people who responded felt that Kingston playgrounds currently do not meet our community's needs. 98% also said that they did not feel that Kingston playgrounds were inclusive to all. 85% said that they did not feel that our playgrounds currently address the age span of 0 to 12 years, which is what is currently stated.
They also shared some of the most prevalent feedback they received from community members.
On our survey, we also had hundreds of responses that were added to the questions that we asked. I'd just like to take a moment to share a couple with you. One of them stated, "The lack of inclusive play spaces isolated my daughter from her peers and has caused long-term mental health and social difficulties. If she had been able to continue enjoying her friends after she began using a wheelchair, she would likely not have the struggles as significantly as she does." We also heard from a number of families who indicated that the current Kingston parks do not meet the needs of families who have multiple children at different ages and stages and abilities. I think one of the things that we noticed in a lot of the responses with it is that there are a lot of small parkette type places throughout Kingston. And while that makes it so that it's easy to get to one, people are finding that there isn't the play value in terms of wanting to stay for a longer period of time. Or if you have children of multiple different ages, there aren't things there that are interesting for all of them. And so I think that really kind of struck us in terms of how do you find to develop a space that not only meets the needs for not one age group or ability, but kind of how do you find a way that people can play together and want to stay.
In addition to classic features of a playground like slides and monkey bars, an accessible playground would include features like rubberized surfacing, ramps, and a wheelchair rocker. The project has already received an outpouring of support from the community over the last few months, with close to $200,000 already being raised by Inclusive Play Project volunteers before coming before council last week. Prior to the council meeting, Inclusive Play Project volunteers gathered before City Hall and were even joined by some councillors sporting Inclusive Play Project shirts to show their support.
When we first pitched this idea, it started as a park, and then it became a fundraising campaign. And now what we have on our hands is very clearly a movement that grows by the day, and we are so excited to be a part of it.
Councillors unanimously approved the motion to provide $300,000 from the Municipal Capital Reserve Fund for partial funding of the Inclusive Playground Project. The city also provided public land at Shannon Park. and will be conducting maintenance of the structure when it is complete.
Isn't this great to see a community project that started a year ago and look how much progress they have made? I'm humbly urging everyone in this council to endorse this tonight. Think of what addition this would make to Kingston, and that we're really starting a kind of new park that could be a pilot for all other parks in the area.
With the project having an estimated budget of $1.5 million, the Inclusive Play Project is continuing to raise funds. They currently have $650,000 in grant requests pending approval, and additional grant applications in progress. There are also high hopes that more of these structures will be built around the city after this milestone is complete.
We don't want this to be the only park. Given the incredible success of the fundraising and just the response from the community, we want to see more of these.
More information about the Inclusive Play Project can be found on their website. The city has provided the first public statement on the status of the Lemoyne Point Farm property, sharing that they are currently in negotiations with the state trustees to acquire the property. The waterfront property located at 2000 Front Road has been a highly discussed topic within the community since longtime owner Mary Fraser passed away in 2022, leaving the space in limbo. Conversations between the city, the estate, and community partners have been behind closed doors until this most recent release. For the city, this property is an opportunity to advance their goals of providing a connected and accessible waterfront and more opportunities for urban farming. At this point, the city and Fraser's estate trustees disagree on how to interpret parts of the will. In the update from the city, it was explained that Fraser's will gives the city an option to purchase the property under certain conditions, including keeping, as far as possible, the property zoned for rural use. They are currently awaiting advice and guidance from the Ontario Superior Court to move forward. In the release, it was stated, quote, "The city recognizes the importance of respecting Ms. Fraser's intentions as well as the property's natural and cultural heritage significance to the residents of Kingston. The city is committed to continuing to work with the estate trustees through negotiation, mediation, or if necessary, litigation to advance the city's interpretation of Ms. Fraser's will," end quote. Advocates for the preservation and community use of the property at 2000 Front Road, the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group, have been supportive of the city's pursuit to acquire the property. CFRC sat down with Jim Biagi, a member of the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group. Here is a bit of that conversation. This is the first public statement the city has made on the Lemoyne Point Farm property in this explicit way. How is SLPF feeling about this development?
We're quite pleased. The city has mostly discussed the farm, as they call it, 2000 Front Road West, at an in-camera or on an in-camera capacity. And so this announcement is firstly at least some news about the developments, and then secondly, I think we're quite pleased that the city is so serious about both trying to acquire the property and in their statement indicating how they want to preserve the property for Kingstonians.
Yeah, absolutely. And is this sort of similar to what you've already been told in private discussions or heard through the grapevine, or is this sort of really new information?
We've had some verbal communications with councillors and mayor, but they've been very professional in having the in-camera requirements of not sharing information. I think we had a sense that the city was in communication with the estate already and looking at the possibility of buying the property, but two years and some months have passed since the estate became active when the prior owner Mary Fraser died. So it's been quite a while.
BIG also clarified the nature of the disagreements and how to interpret the will referred to in the update.
There are questions for clarity around the requirements of the will and the interests of the city. So two appraisals have been submitted on the property with quite disparate numbers, one at roughly $9 million and one at roughly $29 million. And the average, of course, is an average of two very disparate numbers. And so the terms that apply if the city does acquire the property is to maintain the property as a rural designation, which would put its value much less than if the property was put open to development. And I suppose if there is some speculation, I think that's where you might see a big discrepancy between a lower appraisal number and a higher appraisal number. After some negotiation between the estate and the city, the executors of the estate filed a notice of application in the Toronto, Ontario Superior Court, asking for advice clarifying the meaning of some aspects of the secondary will. And so the executors are asking the court to do several things: clarify the authority of the estate trustees to select appraisers, to rule on the right of the city to review the appraiser's methodology, to confirm the meaning of certain clauses about the city purchasing the farm, and to request that a decision be forthcoming within 180 days. So there does seem at least to be an attempt to conclude this business in a relatively timely fashion.
At this point, the city has declined requests for further comment, stating that the information distributed through the short release is all that can be provided at this time. More details will be shared in the future, and the city encourages community organizations and residents to continue to share their input.
Overall, I would say that our group is very pleased with the city's position and their eagerness to look at the property as an area that could be beneficial to the whole city of Kingston, which is exciting.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News with the latest on the Lemoyne Point Farm property. Before we wrap up this morning, we're going to run through your Friday forecast, a roundup of all the best events Kingston has to offer this weekend. To start us off, tonight, Furball Cruise 2024. Come support Gananoque District Humane Society with classic rock group Urband on a boat cruise. The boat trip includes delicious food, music, and a fun boat ride. The boat's at sail at 6 p.m. and for tickets, you can visit Linktree or get physical tickets at Unwind. Outdoor movie at Kingston Pen. Kingston Pen Tours welcome back outdoor movies at Kingston Pen. Tonight is a screening of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, and Saturday is Oppenheimer. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the movie starts at 8. Don't forget your lawn chair. Tickets are general admission at $18.70, and don't forget to bring extra cash for snacks. And finally for tonight, we have country karaoke at The Buckle. Tunes run from 9 to midnight. Grab a drink and have fun. The event is free. On Saturday, August 24th, Mistress Macbeth Limestone City Burlesque takes on Shakespeare like you've never seen before. Head down to the Royal Theater at Thousand Islands to watch the show from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are $20. Summer fun on Sydenham. Bring your friends and family to Sydenham Street from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday for summer fun on Sydenham. Featuring live music from Roger James, family-friendly activities, and fun entertainers. Ontario Moonshine Festival. Head down to Top Shelf Distillers August 24th and 25th for the Ontario Moonshine Festival. Featuring live music, food, and unique spirits. There is something for everyone. The event runs from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and is free for all ages. Doors Open Kingston. Doors Open Kingston is inviting you to engage in the fascinating sites that shaped our community. This year's theme is adaptive reuse and highlights innovative ways our cultural landmarks continue to thrive in our community. All participating sites are free to attend. For a full detailed list of participating venues, you can go to kingstonmuseums.ca. Chef Cooking Demo. From 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., witness a free cooking demo in Springer Market Square from a chef preparing a dish from local ingredients. Samples are provided for $2 after the demonstration. On Sunday, August 25th, as you heard earlier in this episode, head over to the Kingston Memorial Center for Loving Spoonful and the Memorial Farmers Market's new event, Block Party. The party is a celebration of local food and runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bring your friends and enjoy the traditional market with a festive flair. The event is free. Karaoke. Bring your friends to the Toucan for karaoke with host Jeremy Green.
The tunes run late into the night from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Event is free to attend. Vintage Market Montreal Street Collective presents a vintage market on Montreal Street featuring several downtown vintage, thrift shops, and local artisans. The market runs from 9 to 5 p.m. and the event is free to attend. Yoga in the Park. Grab your yoga mat and head over to Battery Park for free yoga in the park. Relax and follow a yoga instructor as they help you find your center. The session is for all ages and abilities. And finally, on Sunday night to finish off the week, Country Open Mic. Have a country song prepared? Swing by the Buckle for Country Open Mic from 7 to 10 p.m. Grab a drink and enjoy the event for free. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To listen on the go and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Yes, I'd like a bowl of hot alphabet soup.
Hi, my name is Hayden, and I have a new show on CFRC called Alphabet Soup.
A bowl of hot?
Make sure it's hot.
Alphabet Soup is a musical variety show that's live every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m.
Make sure it's hot.
Right.
Okay, sir. Coming right up.
Tune in to hear something classic or something fresh. Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CFRC.
Hey, Charlie, table 26 wants a hot alphabet soup.
For 142 years, the Queen's Gaels have called Kingston home. The tricolor has become as synonymous with the city as the limestone upon which it was built. But that love, admiration, and respect comes with a powerful commitment. A pledge to protect this house. On Saturday, August 31st, the Queen's Gaels will host the McMaster Marauders for their home opener at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. and CFRC's coverage will begin at 5:45.
disgusted by life. I retain the right to be a little bit different than inside. And when a cool, cool breeze picks you up and takes you high above the trees, and when your eyes roll back into your skull, say, it's nothing I can see, but then I feel you. And when I'm on all night, since you think that you have found a place in time, and that place is in, it says keep in mind, it says keep in mind, it says keep in mind, oh, you've got Jesus Christ, tell me I'm all I can do. It's a one of a kind,
wanted, 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 wan
Wanted, 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 wanted. And why, oh, why am I here? Why did I come here? Why are we here? Why did we come here? Cause I have the fear of the time and 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 the wanted, 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 and I'm stuck in the time 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 and the wanted, 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 wanted. Wanted, 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 wanted.
Hear the pitter patter of the drops against the pane. Hear the lightning shatter as it thunders its refrain. But to you, it's like a melody no composer has ever created. You're in love, and everything you hear is beautiful. See, the sky is clouded, not a trace of sun in view. See, the world is crowded like the lady in the shoe, but it's like a vision in a dream that no artist has ever created. You're in love and everything you see is beautiful. There's no room for sorrow today or tomorrow. Enjoy each little pleasure that's surrounding you. So chase that's blowing as it cools the early night. Where a rose is growing, you will smell it sweet and bright. There's a world for you to make your own that nobody has ever created. You're in love and you will realize it's beautiful.
another day and cast off the gloom that-
as it cools the early night. Where a rose is growing, you will smell it sweet and bright. There's a world for you to make your own that nobody has ever created. You're in love, and then you realize it's beautiful. If you love, then you will realize it's beautiful. Ooh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Ooh.
Myself.